welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
Well, last week, we talked a little bit about the use of placebos for people with lower back pain. We're going to talk a little bit more generally about pain with the poem that you've chosen this week. I think that it's probably safe to say that most listeners struggle with dealing with patients with pain. On the one side, we're very empathetic and we don't want our patients to be in pain. We want them to live lives that include work and pleasure and things. On the other hand, we certainly are hesitant to prescribe strong pain medicines like opioids for lots of reasons, some of them patient-centered reasons, not wanting to get or do harm to our patients, but other policy reasons clearly coming from the federal government around overprescribing. Chronic pain is a very common reason for seeking medical attention. Just a couple of numbers here. At any given time, about 50 million Americans, one out of six, are burdened with some sort of chronic pain, and about 20 million had high-impact chronic pain. With many of those patients, opioids are prescribed for the chronic pain, and that prescribing rate increased relatively steadily from the early 2000s to about 2016. There have been a concomitant increase in opioid-related deaths over that same period, but about 2016, give or take, there began to be serious federal attention to the unintended overdoses associated with prescription drugs. We all want to move away from using narcotics when they're not necessary. The CDC has warned against setting very hard dose limits. They've also warned against discontinuing patients at higher doses abruptly, tapering abruptly, or applying guidelines to opioid agonist therapy for opioid use disorder that are not appropriate. It turns out that there are some patients who want to work with us and want to find other approaches to controlling their pain. The poem that you've selected, I think, is a very interesting one. It comes from JGIM, the Journal of General Internal Medicine. It attempts to answer the question, how can I recognize if patients are open to reducing their opioid drug dose or using other options to treat their pain? It's a qualitative study. Mark, what did they do and what did they find?
Yeah, qualitative studies are so important and they're so helpful for generating hypotheses, for telling us, teaching us about what, you know, the sort of the more interpersonal aspect of care. And, you know, I couldn't have designed a survey to study this, but now I think I might have some ideas about which questions that we need to ask and which to focus on. So really kudos to your colleagues. And just to get you off the hook, we picked it, or I picked it for the poem of the week, not you. So this was a really good study. So this was, you know, about conversations that are aimed at reducing opioid use in patients with chronic pain. Those are difficult. There's often, you know, we have fear of conflict, that the patient may try gamesmanship or manipulate us, and we don't like that. What if patients offered clues that they might be open to dose reduction? So to identify and categorize these clues, they analyzed recordings of 86 clinic visits of patients with chronic pain who got an average of 42 morphine equivalents per day. So I think that's above the CDC recommended limit. Two authors independently listened to the recordings. They identified 274 times in the visits when patients offered an assessment of the opioid, and 129, so almost 130 of these assessments, seemed to express a negative or ambivalent opinion toward opioids. So these clues were sorted into five categories. The first was pain. An example is it helps a little bit with the pain. So just kind of minimizing, saying it's not really helping very much. Second was function. If I take two, I can't function. So the effect on function that they might have. Safety, if I have to take more, I'll be in serious trouble. So the patient expressing that concern. The fourth group was side effects. I don't like it. I don't like how it makes me feel. And the fifth was personal identity, saying things like, I'm in a constant war with myself when I take pain medication. So more than half of the visits included at least one of these clues, and 21% contained three or more clues. So a fairly substantial subset of patients were really clearly trying to communicate that this just wasn't working so well for them. They might be open to change. The 49 physicians in the study only explored the clues about 40% of the time. So when the clues were present, they didn't take advantage of that. On the other hand, you could say, wow, they identified 40% of those clues and took advantage of it. I actually don't think that's too bad. The authors didn't report the effect of these clues on patient care or on, you know, treatment outcomes or process outcomes. But bottom line, listen for these clues that express a concern or a doubt about the role of opioids. Things like, sometimes it doesn't work, makes my brain fuzzy, I like to stay in control of me. When patients question the effect of treatment on pain relief or function, worry about safety or side effects, or reflect on the impact that these drugs have on their identity, they may be open to discussing other treatment options. So very interesting information.
Absolutely. We often go through our clinical worlds on autopilot, and we don't spend as much time listening to our patients, both for what they're saying and for what they're not saying. So this is a reminder, again, 40% were, but to slow down a little bit and listen. So what they did was they listened to these conversations. They recorded them in about, you said, 129 out of 274 instances the patient brought something up. That's about half the time. I'm wondering, should we be prompting our patients and asking them, you know, an open-ended question such as, you know, you've been taking Norco for, you know, a number of months, how is it working, or what's the experience like for you, or something like that, to open the door?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. That would really be a way to kind of operationalize this. You could even, you know, have just a set of simple questions. It's something you could do directly that probably would have the most impact. But then also, it could be something that they could, you know, assess themselves before the visit. So yeah, lots of different ways to operationalize this and really put this into practice.
Great. Thanks for picking that. We will talk with you again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.